We are officially under 1 week away from the start of the 2026 NFL season, and the New York Giants over the last 24 hours have made a string of critical roster moves, some extensions, and one kind of surprising release here as they get themselves under the salary cap in advance of Wednesday's salary cap deadline. The New York Giants went into this weekend $1.3 million over the salary cap, according to overthecap.com, so they needed to make some moves in order to free up some cap space and become compliant ahead of the week one kickoff. So the Giants made three critical moves. They extended Jameis Winston, which freed up a little bit of cap space. They extended John Runyon Jr., which also freed up a little bit of cap space. And breaking news, just as I sat down to record on those other two topics, a new topic came across my desk, and that is that the New York Giants announced that they are releasing wide receiver Darius Slayton. Whoa. Okay, this is a little bit of a surprise here, but I have a lot of thoughts and feelings and opinions on this matter, and we're going to go ahead and break it down on today's episode of Fireside Giants, which is presented by Prize Picks. I'm Anthony Rivardo. Let's waste no more time, and let's discuss first and foremost Darius Slayton being released by the New York Giants. Now, Darius Slayton was the longest tenured player on the New York Giants roster. He has been with the team for 7 years, was drafted by the New York Giants in 2019 as a fifth round pick, was their WR1 for a couple of seasons, really never should have been. He was drafted to be a WR3 at best, hopefully develop into a WR2. But the New York Giants over the last 7 years, well, they've had a lot of injuries in their receiving core, and they've had a lot of moments where they took some swings and misses on WR1s, and they just didn't have a WR1, a true WR1 for a while. So Slayton played a lot of football over the last 7 years for the New York Giants. He led them in receiving at least four times, and he had a couple of pretty decent seasons with over 700 receiving yards. Was never a 1,000-yard receiver, but in year one of his career, when he emerged as that fifth-round rookie, 8 touchdowns that season was a career-high, 740 yards. He followed it up with 750 yards the following year, but then it really fell apart in 2021. 339 yards, was benched mid-season, but came back in 2022 and was a critical part of that team that went to the playoffs with 720 yards. And then 2023, 770 yards, got himself paid after the 2024 season despite 573 yards, and he signed a three-year, $36 million extension with the Giants in the 2025 offseason, and follow that up with 538 yards and one touchdown. Not so great, kind of phased out of the offense at one point, despite the fact that Malik Nabers wasn't even in the offense. And then let's fast forward to this summer. Let's recap how we got here to Darius Slayton being released. What was the timeline of events over the last several months? Well, this spring, when the New York Giants had OTAs, they were looking at some new receivers for the roster. They had Malachi Fields, of course, as the rookie who was there and making some noise at minicamp. There was oftentimes discussions, will they sign a receiver, will they not? Well, they brought back Isaiah Hodgins at some point, and they had a bunch of like kind of back end of the roster guys who were actually competing in the spring while Darius Slayton was sidelined with a sports hernia. If you guys remember, he had surgery early on this year. It kept him out for the spring practices. Then they get to the summer, and here comes Odell Beckham Jr. Here comes Juju Smith-Schuster. Here also comes Braxton Berrios. Two of those three guys made the final roster in a roundabout way. Odell Beckham Jr. outright made the 53-man roster. Braxton Berrios was waived but signed immediately to the practice squad, and the Giants almost immediately announced that he would be elevated for week one game day. So he would technically be the New York Giants' sixth receiver on the roster despite not being on the official initial 53. He's on the practice squad to be elevated. But then there's Darius Slayton, who all summer didn't really make an impact and fell down the depth chart. He came into this year as a presumed starting wide receiver for the New York Giants team. He was supposed to be probably their WR3 competing with Darnell Mooney, but you get to the final preseason game of the summer, Darnell Mooney doesn't suit up for that game against the New York Jets in their final preseason game. Darius Slayton does, plays 33 total snaps in that final preseason game, zero targets. He also played 14 snaps in the first preseason game, zero targets. Now, the second preseason game, to his credit, Darius Slayton played a decent game, but he played a lot in that game. And when that happened, I said on this podcast, that felt like an audition to other teams. That felt like the New York Giants showcasing Darius Slayton, saying, hey, does somebody want to trade for this guy? He put up over 50 yards in that game. I think he had 3 receptions. He looked decent in that second preseason game. I will give him credit for that. But in that third preseason game, that was the end of the line. Mooney wasn't playing. Malachi Fields didn't play, as he clearly became WR2 for this team over the course of the summer. But Slayton was out there with Odell Beckham Jr. playing a high number of snaps. OBJ came to play versus the Jets. He played a bunch of snaps. He came to play. He put up some statistics, and he secured his roster spot. Meanwhile, out there for 33 snaps was Darius Slayton. Zero targets, wasn't getting open, wasn't separating, and just made no impact on the game. And here we are a little over a week later, and he has officially been released by the New York Giants. Now, a lot of you might be saying, why would you do this? You're not even getting cap savings. That's actually not true. As I mentioned at the top of this episode, the New York Giants entered the weekend $1.3 million over the salary cap. I actually did an episode that was posted yesterday morning, I think around noon yesterday, before the Giants extended Jameis Winston and extended John Runyon Jr. And in that episode, if you guys watched through the whole thing, we discussed salary cap updates, and I pointed to a few players that could potentially be extended or released in order to free up cap space. I actually circled all three of these guys. I said John Runyon could be extended, although I didn't find it likely. So we're going to dive into that in a minute. I mentioned Jameis Winston as a potential extension candidate, but I figured he wouldn't want to sign one because he wanted to compete for a starting job next year. Lo and behold, he signed an extension hours later. And I circled Darius Slayton. I said, I doubt that the Giants release or trade Darius Slayton. I don't think anybody wants to trade for him. I don't think cutting him would make a ton of sense because of the depth on this receiving core. But if they did cut him, they would save over $3 million in cap space, which would get them compliant under the salary cap and give them a little bit of breathing room. But I also said they can't just make one move because they need cap space, not just for week one, but for the entire season. So they needed to make a move to get under the cap, and then they needed to make other subsequent moves in order to free up more cap space. And the restructure options that we discussed, Paulson Adebo, no way they were going to restructure him. Javon Holland, they could have restructured him, but it didn't make a ton of sense. And John Runyon Jr. was the other one. Instead, no restructures, no pushing guaranteed money down the line, extensions, and a surprising release here with Darius Slayton freeing up $3 million in cap space as a post-June 1st release. That's critical to get under the cap by cutting Darius Slayton, but also making those two extensions. Now the Giants are going to have real breathing room. They are set to probably have somewhere between $7 to $10 million in cap space going into the season as a result of these three cuts, these three transactions. Prior to that, $1.3 million over. Now they are going to be somewhere around $7 to $10 million under the salary cap. That's big because it allows them to make all of the practice squad signings and elevations that they want to make during the season, and it allows them to continue to survey the free agency and trade markets for potential upgrades throughout the year. So this is all necessary and critical house cleaning to get under the salary cap, but also give yourself breathing room underneath the salary cap in order to make some space and give the Giants the autonomy to say, hey, this roster is still upgradable. Now we have the money to make those necessary upgrades. So that's kind of the breakdown on the salary cap aspect of this. I know a lot of you probably assumed Slayton does not free up cap space for the Giants. He actually frees up $3,161,000 for the New York Giants. He comes with a $12.75 million dead money hit, but because his cap number was 15.9, that 12.75 is subtracted from that, and you come up with $3.1 million in salary cap space freed with this post-June 1st cut. So very interesting. Had the Giants found the trade partner, the dead money hit would have been $3 million. The savings would have been $12 million, but that just simply was not possible for the New York Giants. Nobody wanted to trade for Slayton. And I discussed this in a recent episode just a few days ago here on the podcast. I said, hey, Darius Slayton, sounds like the Giants wanted to trade him this summer, but who would be willing to trade for a guy who entered the summer as a starting receiver and fell all the way down the depth chart to fifth string? If the other teams are looking at it, well, if the Giants aren't viewing him as a player who's worth keeping in a valuable spot on the roster, how is any other team going to value him enough to trade for him? And I said, if you're going to trade him, you're probably getting a future seventh round pick like you got for Josh Azeedu. And at that point, what is the point? Why not just hold on to him as solid receiving depth? Well, now we know nobody even made an offer, because if the Giants got an offer like that, a future seventh round pick, they would have taken the cap savings to move on from him. But clearly nobody wanted Darius Slayton, so the Giants agreed. They didn't want him either, and they're releasing him. And now this is official. Odell Beckham Jr. has overtaken Darius Slayton's spot on the depth chart, and consequently Slayton has been released for losing his spot to the likes of Mooney and Odell Beckham Jr. That was the real competition here this summer. OBJ had to compete just to get his roster spot, but after he secured his roster spot, he started competing with guys like Mooney and Slayton for playing time and legitimate snaps, and he has taken those away from Slayton, and as a result, Slayton has now been released. So let me just kind of say some things about Darius Slayton, though. I liked Darius Slayton. I think Darius Slayton got a little bit of a bad rap with the New York Giants fans, And I understand frustrations with him. He dropped the football way too often. And it always felt like when he dropped the football was the issue. It wasn't the fact that he dropped the football every now and then. It was the fact that he dropped touchdowns. It was the fact that he dropped third downs. It was the fact that he made drops in the fourth quarter. His drops were always killer drops that cost the New York Giants games. And that's something that John Harbaugh just simply isn't going to tolerate. I mean, John Harbaugh is all about the details. He's all about practicing hard, showing up to practice, putting your all into practice, making progress through practice, and getting the details right on game days so that little drops and mistakes don't cost your team a game. Unfortunately, Slayton, maybe he practices hard. Maybe he does all those things. He's the consummate professional. He was always a pro's pro. But those little details and those drops were killer. And I think that's something that the New York Giants recognize and probably got fed up with. Now you've got other guys on this roster like Odell Beckham Jr. You don't expect him to drop the ball in the clutch. Darnell Mooney is literally just a better version of Darius Slayton as a former 1,000-yard receiver who actually knows this offense from Matt Nagy and has familiarity with the staff. Keep in mind, guys, Slayton doesn't have familiarity with the staff. This was an all-new staff, and everybody was handed a clean slate, and some players just were a little bit more impressive with that clean slate than others. And Slayton was one of those that did not impress, in my opinion, in the slightest outside of a couple of receptions versus the Miami Dolphins backup cornerbacks in week two of the preseason. But to go out there in week three of the preseason, lay a goose egg across 33 snaps versus the New York Jets second and third stringers, that was a death sentence. That was all she wrote for Darius Slayton, in my opinion. After I saw that, I said, yeah, I think if they could trade him, they will. But I don't see anybody wanting to trade for Darius Slayton after that performance versus the Jets backups. And here we are. Now Slayton is being released. And again, I'll say I think he got a little bit of a bad rep. For the last 7 years he was on this team, he never should have been playing in the position that he was in. He was a fifth-round pick who was supposed to just be a field-stretching vertical outside threat. He was never supposed to be a guy that gets $12 million a year to be the Giants' wide receiver too. That was never supposed to be the reality for Darius Slayton, but he just played a lot. He had a lot of opportunities because the Giants receiving core and roster was bad. They had injuries at receiver, and one way or another, Slayton just kept sneaking his way up the depth chart and into the starting position, but he really wasn't supposed to be in that position. So Giants fans would criticize him, in my opinion, a little harshly and unfairly because you're talking about a backup who's playing starting snaps every single year out of circumstances. It wasn't really fair to Slayton, and it wasn't fair to Giants fans either, who deserve to have starting talent in the starting lineup, but injuries and everything else just kept pushing Slayton into the lineup. So I have respect for him for battling through, punching above his weight class truly, because he really was kind of a WR3, 4, 5 level player, oftentimes playing WR1/2. But I thought as a WR5, though, this is good value for the New York Giants to have a guy who can play a lot of snaps, who can put up 700 plus yards in a season as your fifth string receiver. That sounded pretty good to me. Like, I think that's quality depth. That's a veteran who's stable. That's a player that I would probably want to keep around. And I am a little bit surprised that the New York Giants have made this decision to release Darius Slayton. As a fifth string receiver, he's pretty damn good. As a second string or third string receiver, no, he's not that good. And he does drive us up a wall with all of these drops as a second or third stringer. But as a fourth or fifth stringer, which is truly where he belongs, in my opinion, I feel like he's pretty good in that role. But I don't know. The Giants coaching staff got a much closer look at him all summer, and they made their decision, and I'm not going to question it. I don't think Slayton did enough to really win a roster spot, and as a result, they're cutting him. Now, I don't know what the corresponding move is. Now the Giants don't have 53 players on their roster, so I don't know if they're going to go out there and trade for somebody or sign somebody or make some other practice squad elevation. This could just be making space to move Braxton Berrios up for game day on Sunday. That's probably what this is. But keep an eye out. The Giants have an extra roster spot. They can go out there and make a move now. But this is very telling. This says a lot about how the Giants coaching staff felt about Darius Slayton. They're going to release him for $3 million in cap savings rather than holding on to an experienced veteran as the WR5, which, again, I think in that role, you're pretty happy to have Slayton as a WR5. You just don't want him as a WR2 or 3 anymore. And I get it. But now I think the New York Giants made it clear. They feel like Odell Beckham Jr. is a better player. They think Braxton Berrios is more valuable since he's on the practice squad with the intention of being elevated for game day. And that's that. So it's a little bit interesting. I thought Slayton maybe could have gotten like a Kayshon Booty trade, you know, like maybe the Giants could have gotten that. if you guys didn't see, the Patriots traded Booty to the Texans for a 7th round pick. I thought maybe the Giants would try and make that kind of deal, but they probably would have made a deal with the Texans, who traded for Kayshon Booty and ultimately rendered Darius Slayton just not valuable enough to trade for. So is what it is. That's that. And I mean, hey, thank you for, you know, putting the work in and being available for 7 years. I'll say thank you to Darius Slayton, because again, he was a pro's pro. He just wasn't good enough, unfortunately, and it is what it is. So goodbye to Darius Slayton. I'll wish him the best of luck. This isn't a goodbye and good riddance situation for me. Very frustrating player at times, who I thought could have been a lot better if he made some more clutch receptions. But at the end of the day, this is fine for the New York Giants. They free up necessary cap space and they move on. And now their roster is in a position where it can be improved with extra cap space and an extra roster spot to upgrade. So that's pretty much all I got to say on Darius Slayton, but I do want to talk about John Runyon Jr. and Jameis Winston and their two extensions. But before I dive into that, I do want to give a quick shout out to the sponsor of today's episode, which is Prize Picks. If you guys aren't playing on Prize Picks yet, it's America's number one sports picks app. Super easy to use. All you do, you pick more or less on a few of your favorite player stats, and you lock in your lineup. You can make picks across different sports and different leagues. Like, you can take a Yankees player to get a home run, and you could take Cam Scadaboo to score a touchdown. It's really fun. You can get really creative with these combos. There's demons and goblins as well. Demons give you longer odds but better payouts. Goblins give you easier lines but lower payouts. So you could get a little fun with what the lines are here. They're very adjustable. You could do flex plays and power plays, which are also great features, just more ways to win, basically. And this is a super easy to use app, considering it's available in most states, including California, Texas, and Florida. Plus, it operates a little bit like a social media platform. You can follow people on Prize Picks. You can follow me at Anthony Rivardo. You can see all my picks and lineups before I even post them here on the channel. So definitely check out Prize Picks down below in the description box and use code HMA when you sign up. New users who play $5 lineup we'll get $150 if they win that $5 lineup using code HMA. So check it out down below in the description box. Have fun and always play responsibly. So Jameis Winston signed an extension with the New York Giants, and I love it. Come on now. You guys know I love Jameis Winston. Let's eat some W's. Let's eat those W's, and let's be very happy about Jameis Winston, the perfect backup quarterback, re-signing with the New York Giants. I say he's the perfect backup quarterback for a multitude of reasons, but let me break them down so that you guys understand why I'm excited about this. First, though, it was a 2-year, $13 million extension. So $6.5 million per year to be the Giants' backup quarterback for an extra 2 seasons. I think that's a great deal. And here's why. I think he's the best backup quarterback in the NFL in terms of talent. There is, to me, at least a handful of teams that Jameis Winston would start on tomorrow. I think he would start for the Miami Dolphins. I think he would start for the Cleveland Browns, and that's just two off the top of my head. I think he would start for the Arizona Cardinals, and he's the backup for the New York Giants. This is why I didn't think he would sign an extension, because Winston's good. He goes out there. He plays well whenever he gets an opportunity to. So I thought maybe as a free agent next offseason, he would gauge the market and see if there was an opportunity for him to compete for a starting job, whether that's in Arizona, Miami, or somewhere else, as the quarterback rooms are always changing every year around the NFL. Instead, he decides he's going to stay with John Harbaugh and the New York Giants and continue to mentor Jackson Dart, which is point two. He is the perfect mentor for Jackson Dart. In fact, Jameis Winston was the perfect mentor for Jackson Dart before Jackson Dart was even on the Giants. If you guys remember, there was a little video series that they did for the draft prospects going into last year's draft, and they asked Jackson Dart, who would be your perfect teammate? And he said, Jameis Winston. And then months later, he signed with the New York Giants, and the Giants drafted Jackson Dart. So they brought the perfect teammates together, which I thought was a beautiful story. And I thought you could see the impact very early on in Jackson Dart's time with the New York Giants, as he became super close with Jameis Winston. Jameis and Jackson Dart coordinated a team workout this summer in Las Vegas with all of the wide receivers. It wasn't just Dart who coordinated that. They actually co-coordinated that, as documented on Jameis Winston's YouTube page. Jameis, like I said, a great mentor for Dart, has already given him plenty of advice and guidance and has helped him through kind of ups and downs already in his young career. But he's also just a great leader in the locker room. The Giants did game day captains a few years ago. They have a leadership group of players that the coaches met with a couple of weeks ago, and Jameis Winston and Jackson Dart were both on that leadership group. That tells you how highly the New York Giants view him internally and how they feel as though he is one of their leaders and probably one of their captains on this roster going into the season. Yeah, the Giants could have two captains in their quarterback room, one of them being the starter and one of them being the backup. And honestly, if I had to put money on it, if only one of those guys could be the captain, I think Jameis might be the captain on the offensive side out of the quarterbacks. No disrespect to Jackson Dart. I think he's a leader, but I think, listen, you're talking about a young leader who's the start of this team versus Jameis Winston, who everybody on this roster respects and who has been a leader in the NFL for as long as he's been in the NFL. He's just always been a great leader. High character guy. He does a lot of work for people off of the field. And like I said, internally in that locker room, we've seen the halftime speeches, the pregame speeches, the press conference discussions that he has, the way that he praises his teammates, the way he goes to bat for his teammates no matter what. He's just a good dude, and he's just the perfect teammate. So what do you want from a backup quarterback? You want the perfect teammate. You want the perfect mentor for your young quarterback entering year two. And you want a guy who, and this is point three, can go out there and win you games. Jameis Winston can win football games in the NFL. He's not a backup like a Jake Fromm for the New York Giants years ago, who, let's be honest, could not go out there and win games. That wasn't a possibility for the Giants. Jameis Winston fought hard versus the Detroit Lions last season. The New York Giants should have won that game if not for Shane Bowen's crappy defense. They should have beaten the Green Bay Packers because Jameis Winston played well in that game too, but then he threw an attempted game-winning touchdown pass to Jalen Hyatt, who never turned around for the ball and ran the wrong route, and boom, interception. Not Jameis's fault. But again, Jameis in those games fought really hard. He always puts his body on the line and never takes any play off. We saw that even recently. Miami Dolphins, week two preseason game. He didn't have to dive for the pylon like that in a preseason game and put his body on the line, but he did, and he scored a touchdown, and he got the whole team hyped up anyway. He also, because he was the starter in that game, he broke them down. The pregame speech was awesome, and he was their leader. Like I said, everything you want from a backup quarterback, Jameis Winston possesses those traits. Leadership traits, a willingness and an ability to mentor and guide a young quarterback. A lot of veteran quarterbacks aren't willing to do that. We've seen issues like with Andy Dalton in the past. Even Kirk Cousins said, I'm not really here to mentor Michael Penix. I'm here to start at quarterback, and Penix, he has to try and compete with me. Like, he insinuated as much. We've seen that time and time again throughout the league. I even think Philip Rivers had an issue with that years ago. Or maybe that was Matt Ryan. I don't remember. But again, just basically the point being, sometimes these veteran quarterbacks, they want to play football and they want to start, and they don't feel like it's their job to mentor, guide, and teach the young guy coming in. Jameis Winston was the opposite. He said, I am here to guide. I am here to be a support piece for him. And I think you have to commend that, and you have to be really excited about the fact that that guy is remaining in this New York Giants locker room. Plus, he's good enough to win games. He's actually a quarterback that can compete against legitimate defenses, starting level defenses, make some good plays, make some touchdown passes, and play well. I mean, he threw for 500 yards in 2024 as a member of the Cleveland Browns versus the Denver Broncos in that overtime loss. Crazy game, but hell of a performance from Jameis Winston. Proved he could start for some teams. And again, in the couple of games that he played last year, he looked good for the Giants. So I love Jameis. I think he's the perfect player to have on this roster if you're the New York Giants as the backup quarterback. And so they freed, what was it? Let me see how much money they freed from extending him. Jameis Winston, they freed $2.1 million. So that was enough to get them under the salary cap, but only by $800,000, like we mentioned. So not really under the salary cap. One more roster move, you're back over it. But that's why they went ahead and doubled down and extended John Runyon Jr. Now, extending John Runyon Jr. saved the Giants a pretty penny, $6.4 million worth. So you add it all up, like I said earlier, $6.4 million from Runyon, $3 million from cutting Slayton. Now you're up to $9.4 million, and you get $2 million from extending Jameis Winston. So you're up to $11.5 million minus the $1.3 million that they were over. Now they're sitting at around $10 million in cap space. That's a lot of breathing room, but that's necessary space that you need to get through an NFL season. But let's talk about John Runyon Jr. before we wrap this up, because I think this one's a little bit more controversial. I think everybody was like, oh, Winston extended. Awesome. Everybody was like, oh, Slayton released. A lot of Giants fans are celebrating on social media from what I've seen. But John Runyon Jr. was one where people were like, eh, I don't love this, or hey, I like this. So it's a two-year deal. It's $12 million per season. And if you guys remember this past offseason, a lot of conversations about what the Giants should do on the offensive line. They really liked Chase Bisantis and some other guards potentially at the top of round two in this year's draft. Instead, of course, they took Francis Malinoa to upgrade right guard. But there was some conversation about potentially moving on from John Runyon Jr. as well. And I said on the podcast, I don't think they should cut him. because that was a conversation. The Giants had the opportunity this offseason to release John Runyon Jr. for $9 million in cap savings. That's not chump change. That is a significant amount of money. And I said, don't. I'd actually rather extend him. You'll free $6.5 million, so it's $2.5 million difference, but you'll have stability at left guard, which is a position that's damn hard to get stable, right? How often have we seen revolving doors at offensive line positions for the Giants, or just straight up bad players starting in positions for the Giants? Is John Runyon Jr. an elite guard? Is he a premier starting left guard? No. But is he an average to above player who plays every single game and is always available and durable as hell? Yes. Extend him. You don't have to pay him crazy, and the Giants didn't. This is the argument that I was making in March. It's the argument that I'm making now. The Giants extend him, and this doesn't prevent them from continuing to upgrade over John Runyon. In the 2027 NFL draft, if they're picking in the second round and there's a left guard there that they really like, draft him, develop him behind John Runyon Jr., and then when the time is right, push him into the lineup and move on from Runyon for the cap savings. But you don't want rookies always starting right away on the offensive line. The Giants are actually doing it right now. Yes, Maui Noah is immediately starting, but okay, they picked him top 10. But what about Marcus Bell? What about JC Davis? These guys are day three picks, but the Giants are developing the right way. They're not starting immediately. They didn't move on from Jermaine Illuminor just to get Marcus Bell into the lineup. They said, hey, Marcus Bell needs more time to cook. He needs to develop a little bit more. Once Jermaine Illuminor is done with this extension, then we can see if Marcus Bell will be our starter, but we need to develop him more and not stunt his growth by throwing him into the fire too soon. JC Davis, sixth round pick that played a lot this preseason so that he could develop. He played 81 snaps versus the Miami Dolphins, played every snap versus the Dolphins, every snap versus the New York Jets. That's proper development. And he's not being forced into the starting lineup. He's not moving into left guard while John Runyon gets cut. No, he's going to stay as a backup and he's going to develop over the next year or two. And eventually maybe there will be an opportunity for him to start. That's the right way to develop offensive linemen, and that's what the New York Giants are going to continue to do here with this John Runyon extension. Now they've got stability. They've got a baseline average guard. That's all they needed. This is just, hey, we don't want to get stuck in offensive line hell. We don't want to have a moment where we have a bad guard starting. Now, for the next 2 years, we are guaranteed to have an average to above guard starting. We can shoot for the stars and try and get an elite guard in there someday. But for now, we've got an average to above guard, and that's good enough. And then they can continue to look to upgrade. So I really like this move. I think it makes a lot of sense from a cap space standpoint to free up $6.5 million, but it also makes sense from a football standpoint. It's really hard to secure guards. If John Runyon Jr. were to walk into free agency and the Giants didn't have him on their roster, what would their plan be at guard? Jake Kubas? Overpay $20 million a year for the best guard on the market who isn't a $20 million player? That's the way those things go in free agency. No, you would rather find a guy you like who's at least average, stabilize the position, and find a replacement to develop through the draft behind him. That's the right path here, and that's the path that the New York Giants are taking. So I'll commend them for that, and I'll say, good move. I like this. I like all three of these moves, to be honest. I mean, I'm not super crazy about cutting Slayton because I think as a WR5, he's pretty good in that role, but I have to imagine that the New York Giants cut him, not just for the cap savings, but to get somebody else on the active roster, whether that's Berrios, who maybe they truly feel is better, or maybe it's somebody else that they have their eyes on, and maybe they want to trade at another position or sign at receiver or whatever. So I think these are great moves for the New York Giants from a salary cap standpoint. Very interesting moves as well. Domino effect moves here for sure. And that's why we're breaking it down here on the Fireside Giants podcast. So guys, if you did enjoy, do make sure to leave a like on this episode, subscribe to the channel if you're new, or ring the bell so you don't miss an episode, and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you listen to Apple or Spotify, do make sure to leave us a 5-star review and go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. And you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at @Anthony_Rivardo. Appreciate you all tuning in. Only 6 days away from kickoff. Let's freaking go. I can't wait. So I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one. And let's go New York Giants. Let's beat those damn Cowboys.